I'm backstage at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn, New York. It's a small, trendy club in the small, trendy neighborhood of Williamsburg. The walls are painted black, the lights are dim, the dressing rooms are hung with long, blood-red curtains. In between songs, you can hear the faint murmur of the crowd. Over 100 people have shown up for tonight's hip-hop show, many of them die-hard fans. But it's a rather unlikely setting for a conversation about Star Trek.
When I become a spaceman who has sex with aliens, then I will have surpassed the escapism available in the first Star Trek series.
As you probably guessed, this isn't your typical hip-hop show, and the man I'm talking with is not your typical rapper. He's a nerd, and like many people, including me, he takes pride in this. His name is Damien Hess, but he's better known as MC Frontalot. Where exactly does that stage name come from?
It was just a name, like a mean name that I wrote against myself on a photograph that somebody had taken of me rapping, and I thought I looked like I was fronting in the photograph, and I wrote that on there.
That's fronting, as in putting up a front, pretending to be something you're not. It's something most white rappers are accused of from time to time.
And then I just picked it because I thought it was memorable and no other rapper would try to take my name from me.
Frontalot is credited with coining the term nerdcore hip-hop, a label that's since been adopted by countless artists worldwide. And it all started with a self-released single way back in 2000.
MC Frontalot could rock the turntable. I'm unable.
I thought I told you I'm working.
Nerdcore, hip hop, other rappers running fear that I'll put them on the record where the friends could hear. They get sneered at, listed, not to be trusted. Seen hobnobbing with the front a lot busted.
Nerdcore is weird as music genres or what have you go, because I think generally you want to define a music genre by features of the music that are distinct and shared among artists you would recognize as being within the genre, and that's not the case for nerdcore.
I've made a plan to meet up with Frontalot at New England Webcomics Weekend in East Hampton, Massachusetts. Like any comics convention, there are panel discussions, artists signing autographs, and tables of merchandise, but at this one, there's also a live hip-hop show. That's why Frontalot is here, explaining to me what makes nerdcore distinct.
Musically, I guess you wouldn't really call it a genre. There's really nothing holding it together as a genre. But there is a lot that holds the lyrical content together thematically, like all of these nerd culture artifacts show up again and again. And I think also the sort of idea of railing against one's own weakness or expressing one's own alienation, loneliness. These are the sort of the themes of that I see bubbling under all the time in the nerdcore rap. Feelings of inadequacy exploded through bravado.
Cause they ain't appreciating who my DJ be.
Wishing
CPU could rock a beat.
And hoping
that if he does it isn't weak. I'm
wishing
CPU could rock a beat.
And hoping
nerdcore hip hop could reign supreme.
What's the matter with you people? I was joking! Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
I kind of got into making music through recording music, through home recording. I was into my four track in high school and college. And I would record, I would make songs, but I would be more excited to record my talented friends.
Yeah, and in the beginning, it was just stuff that he did, like when he stayed up late, and then he'd show us, and it was like, oh, cool, and that was about it.
That's Brandon Patton,
aka Black Lotus.
He's the bass player in the band that backs up Frontalot at live gigs. He's also been contributing to Frontalot's studio work since the early 2000s.
He'd just be like, you know, hey Brandon, come in here and make up, just play some part on my classical guitar with my shitty mic, you know? And I'd be like, dude, I'm drunk. What are you talking about? You know? And he's like, just lay something down, you know? And he's like, it was really spur of the moment.
Brandon is also one of Frontalot's oldest friends. They've known each other since the early 90s, when they were students at Wesleyan University, along with Gabby Alter, Frontalot's keyboard player.
Dave and I were friends in high school. We met at the end of our freshman year, I think, and I don't know if we made music in high school, though, did we? Thanks. Well, yeah, you recorded my garage band.
His funk band in high school.
Funk band.
I was the four-track producer
slash
band manager, which meant I drove the guys who were too young to drive cars to rehearsal and back.
Gabby says that Damien was not the first rapper in their group of friends. That honor belongs to some guy named Ben.
We started recording these raps with Ben. You know, they were just funny, and I think we performed some of them with the funk band. And I think that's how Damien started rapping. But he got way more into it than I did.
Way more into it is, perhaps, an understatement. While Gabby began writing musicals, Damien fell deeper and deeper into hip-hop culture. At least, as much as a skinny white nerd can fall into hip-hop culture. But whereas most MCs seek out a DJ or a producer to create their backing tracks, Damien started making his own. With nothing but a laptop, a microphone, and some help from Gabby, he started crafting songs.
Listen, I tell you that Frontalot is incredible. Even recommended to rock the mic. Like, instead of a silence, you'd have me fronting into the amplifier. Point with the thumb at which MC to admire. I got high-res images of drum sounds that I loop. You get to listen to them and to me too. How fortunate y'all are to get to bask under my glow. The MC, humble conduit to nerdcore flow.
Now's time for a little braggadocio. While I swing my arms like Ralph Macchio. Now's time for a little braggadocio. While I swing my arms like Ralph Macchio.
And the trophy for most awesomest rapper ever goes to... Sorry, having some trouble with the envelope. Well, holy shit, it's MC Frontalot! I stand 77 feet tall, I got 8 balls, and all of y'all are subject to my thrall. I act appalled when in receipt of less than the highest honor. Someday I'll be both revered and passé, like Madonna. I'm all in effect, people tend to genuflect when I enter rooms, cause all dopeness is subsumed. I spell the doom of the hip-hop subgenre you used to prefer. This geekish rhythm intersection with the predilections that I've incurred. You say word with the surf of the beats, I'm unlikely to run out. Plus I'm so bright, it's like redundant to have the sun out. One out of each 10 brags is hyperbolic. It's all inconsequential, cause you're just here to hear my tongue crawling.
Now's time for a little brag of that show. While I swing my arms like Ralph Macchio. Like Ralph Macchio.
Pistachios, ain't that great? I thought I'd mention them. Distinctive from how awesome I am. My rhymes venturesome then. The dumb luck of it all is I discover other rappers already bragging. But fronts on sync, no lagging. Keep slanging files that recombinate to add weight to fat tracks. I overlay this very vocal via gums that flap. I sap clock cycles from the sucker MCs as they struggle to parse. And yet this front's no farce. Some awesome massive aspiration stations self in my head to be the dopest innovation since the slicing of bread. Instead of simply relying on my insistence to prove that every twist of my tongue is another radical move, which it is, obviously.
Now's time for a little braggadocio. While I swing my arms like Ralph Macchio. Now's time for a little braggadocio. While I swing my arms like Ralph Macchio.
Now's time for a little braggadocio. While I swing my arms like Ralph Macchio. Now's time for a little braggadocio. While I swing my arms, while I swing.
Before long, Frontalot did start working with a DJ, Bad Spella. That's B-A-D-D-D-S-P-E-L-L-A-H. Gabby was still involved too, though if Frontalot ever wanted to play live, he would need a bass player. Re-enter Brandon Patton.
Most of the bass lines I play are written actually by Gabby, who is playing keyboard parts. And then sometimes I have to figure out a way to try and replicate that on a bass because it's really a fakey, keyboardy sound.
I'm I put self-loathing at the end of a string. Drag it after me, swing it like it wasn't a thing. And I can sing in Japanese, please don't say to prove it. And maybe I forgot it when the music got interluded. Who did front tell a lie? Did he mumble? Did this guy high credibility crumble? Double humble was he then, and polite in speech? Did he make escape as he escalated out of reach? Or is he bringing each and every one of you a message? Did he suggest that if you're depressed, if it depresses, not loving it in terms of taco? But I don't understand shame, mama, leave it to you.
And so Damien, Gabi, and Bad Spella now had a system. That was 10 years ago, but in Frontalot's eyes, not that much has changed.
Our process remains pretty similar to how it started out, I think, in terms of making Frontalot tracks.
The essential thing that has been similar for the last several albums is that Damien does all this work and all this nerding on his computer.
And that, right there, that lonely process of nerding on a computer, that is not only how Frontalot makes his music, often it's what his music is about, too.
Get your most closely kept personal thought, put it in the word doc with the password lock. Sock it deep in the raw with extraction precluded by the ludicrous length and the strength of a reputed lit dictionary attack. Proof string of characters, this imperative to thwart all that is beverages of privacy. The NSA and homelessness, you better PGP the raw because so far they ain't impressed. You better take the PGP and print the hex of it out. Scan that into a TIFF, then if you secret doubt for your data, scramble up the order of the pixels with a one-time pad that describes the fun time had by the thick soul boot-wearing stomper who danced to produce random claptrap. All the intervals in between which set in tandem with the stomps themselves begat a seed of math unguessable. Ain't no complaint about this cipher that's redressable. Best of all your secret, nothing extant could extract it. By 2025, a children speaking spell could crack it. You can't hide secrets from the future with math. You could try, but I bet that in the future they laugh at the half-assed schemes and algorithms amassed to enforce cryptographs in the past. You can't hide secrets from the future with math. You can try, but I bet that in the future they laugh at the half-assed schemes and algorithms amassed to enforce cryptographs in the past. In future, people do not give a damn about your shopping, your Visa number, SSL to cherry-popping hot grandpa action websites that you visit, nor password protected partitions, no matter how illicit. And this, it would seem, is your saving grace, the amazing haste of people to forget your name, your face, your litanous list of indefensible indiscretions. In fact, the only way that you could pray to make impression on the era ahead is if instead of being notable, you make the data describing you undecodable. The script kiddies sifting in that relic called the internet, seeking latches on treasure chests that they could wreck in seconds, but didn't yet get a chance to queue up for this assembly, to discover and crack the cover like a creme brulee. They'll glance you over, I guess, and then for a bare moment you'll persist to exist. Almost seem like you're there, don't it? But you're not, you're here, your name will fade as fronts will. That's in the future, they don't know our crypto variable still. You can't hide secrets from the future with math. You can try, but I bet that in the future they laugh at the half-assed schemes and algorithms amassed to enforce cryptographs in the past. You can't hide secrets from the future with math. You can try, but I bet that in the future they laugh at the half-assed schemes and algorithms amassed to enforce cryptographs in the past.
Obviously, this is unusual subject matter in the world of hip-hop, but Frontalot says that mixing nerd culture and hip-hop music was never deliberate.
That's sort of the thing, right? Like, you're little and you dream of being in the Beatles or whatever. You get, in my case, slightly older and rap music gets invented. And then you wish, you know, you could be on stage with Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel. And you wish you could be in the Run DMC video with them or the Beastie Boys video. They look like they're the coolest people in the world. It's like reading a sci-fi book and sort of imagining yourself on the deck of the spaceship. It's escapist fantasy that just happens to take place in the real world. I don't know, all nerds dream of being powerful and beautiful, and that's all it is to be a rapper.
Was just making the songs, and then it occurred to me that it was really dorky to be sitting there and rapping for my computer and maybe with high hopes of some internet stranger hearing it, as opposed to rapping for, you know, a teeming throng of writhing, sexy young people who are dancing in the club or whatever the normal aspiration for a rapper was at that point in the infancy of the nerdcore moment.
So Frontalot started to put his songs out there. He joined a website called Songfight. Like the title suggests, it's a place where artists go head-to-head and see whose song gets the most votes from Songfight users. Before long, Frontalot was winning every Songfight to which he submitted. He even made a song about how easy it had become for him to win Songfights. He called it Romantic Cheapskate, and not surprisingly, he won that Songfight too. It seemed that, without really meaning to, Frontalot had found a dedicated fan base among the web-savvy music nerds at songfight.org.
I got this relationship with Songfight. We go way back. We never broke up, but months go by when I don't call back. And Songfight's on the answering machine, crying drunk on a weeknight, begging me just to sneak by. I keep bypassing the fashionable titles, unbridling beats this thick plus dope recital. Only once per blue moon, coincidental with a typhoon of votes in my favor and doom from any rival of romantic intent. No matter how I treat your Songfight loves me best, even though I never once took a someplace nice. All I ever gotta do is look her deep in the eyes and open up the trap, let the romance flow. And MC Frontalot has got her good to go.
Reaching people online is a strong suit for nerdcore rappers, so there's like the need to have to like build a scene that's regional or that exists in the real world is just hugely lessened. And the music can sort of move around in the modern fashion and create an audience that lives forever in diaspora. But if that gets thick enough for any artist, then we get to tour around nationally and, you know, draw modest but consistent crowds like everywhere in the country, and so that's exciting. It's the opposite of how bands used to have to do it, where they would get so famous in their town that they had to bust out into their region, and so famous in their region that they were finally able to bust onto a national scene. But that doesn't have to happen anymore. You like create a thin layer of national interest and then jump immediately into van touring.
So Frontalot had found a form of self-expression that felt right. He'd established a small but dedicated following all across the country, but he still needed to keep his day job designing websites. Then, on March 18th, 2002, he got a really big break. The webcomic Penny Arcade declared Frontalot their rapper laureate. Soon, Frontalot's website was overwhelmed with hits.
Oh yeah, that's been a big deal, and it continues to be. An exposure to the Penny Arcade audience is like a massive boon to my career. There's no way that I could be doing this full-time if I hadn't been getting hyped by those guys ever since. I mean, for 7 years now. So that's, yeah, it's huge. It's an unmistakable push in the right direction.
Before long, Frontalot was headlining at the Penny Arcade Expo, one of the world's largest gamer conventions. In 2010, Frontalot performed there for an audience of over 2,500 people, many of whom had never before attended a hip-hop show.
I mean, it's the geek crowd, the same people who are here at this Webcomics Weekend convention. People got spectacles on. Many of the gentlemen request a Quadruple X t-shirt, which I still don't stock. And they work in the sciences or IT. Or they are software engineers, or they are teachers. Or academics. And some of them are just gamers and comic book fans who never fit in and find something to identify with in nerdcore.
And if you know the history of hip-hop, this might sound kind of familiar.
There is something in the roots of hip-hop of it that was, I think, filling a need, because disco had been, to some extent, defeated culturally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just things moved on into the late 70s and 80s, and still, there was, like, probably a huge black urban music consumer base that needed something that could speak to their experience in discos, the experience disco speaks to is really just sort of like close your eyes to the world and do some quaaludes and f***ing dance it out, or do some cocaine and dance it out. And so that's not, it's an anti-political message. So all of hip-hop, even just by being about, you know, dealing with life and the experience of being black and having anything to say, was filling a giant vacuum, I think, probably as it was created. Nerdcore does nothing quite so noble or grand, but but certainly there are kids in the nerdcore listenership who are like, I always wanted hip-hop to somehow talk about my experience, and now it does, and I just hope those people look past nerdcore and find out what the rest of hip-hop has to offer, because it's quite a vast, it's quite a vast bunch of riches there for anyone to listen to.
It's hard to tell if nerdcore has been a gateway to hip-hop for many Frontalot fans. Trends like that are almost impossible to measure. But a glance around the room during Frontalot's set at the Knitting Factory does show one interesting trend among nerdcore devotees. They listen very closely. Some of Frontalot's fans know his raps rhyme for rhyme.
I find it real gratifying to have cultivated an audience that pays a lot of attention to lyrics, because that's obviously, from my side, that's the key ingredient for the stuff, is the making these lyrics that you can't parse on a single listen and need to like look up the words and figure out exactly what everything means. And luckily I've attracted an audience that is interested in treating music that way.
Nerd rap, infest your internet. You left a trap, but it's empty. MC Frontalot took a gate, but the bait wasn't tempting. Ending up uncaged and at large to talk smack at you through the networking appliance that's in charge of every drip of your attention. Yo, when mine goes out, I've got to log in just to mention my disappointment at the interruption of convenience. I mean, just a lot left, but none up in between this couple of minutes here and a couple of minutes later. It's an outrage at the price I pay. These dictators of my leisure rule with an iron fist. Has anybody ever been so put upon as this? Your GPS run out of battery.
First world problem.
Got to wake up Saturday.
First world problem.
You just delayed the honeymoon.
First world problem.
Pledge season's coming soon.
First world problem.
Half your friend list is spam account.
First world problem.
And you sent the channel speakers out.
First world problem.
You sent the channel speakers out. I can hear that it's not on.
My feet, my hairy growth cream is mostly ineffective, and I'm struggling to keep this in perspective. But I feel like a massive injustice occurred. Says regrows hair on the two in the words. In a third or maybe a quarter of all users, I must have got swindled. Is it a fault of oozes? Ooh, Muffy, I had all the servants tortured. Did you keep them on retainer? Did you got some more on order? Cause I can't comb my hair on my own no more. I got accustomed to the lifestyle, sniffed upon the spore, and it molded up my innards, made the blood turn blue. Muffy, there's a revolution. What can too. Misplaced the ambient.
First world problem.
Left a participle dangling.
First world problem.
You're scheduling your root canal.
First world problem.
Your grad schooling had no rationale.
First world problem.
You didn't like your appetizer.
First world problem.
Your yacht got capsized.
First world problem.
Your yacht got capsized. The first world problem that you have with your yacht.
The living conditions of the American masses. That's you. Are swiftly deteriorating. Our generation is going through the final convulsions of the dying world of capitalism. That's what it says here. And if you don't believe that pamphlet, try this one.
While our capitalism is in a minor kerfuffle, you have to hustle before the fates come reshuffle. Rustle up another couple grievances and air 'em. You can laugh about it later, maybe needed while despairing. For the moment though, you ordered half-calf, didn't get it. There was no TV set when you jetted. Internet resetted itself just as I was in the middle of tournament play. And so I suffered from transmittal interruption, completely ruined my day. MC Frontalot's a jackass, all I'm trying to say. People buy CDs in these days of disaster, so poor me, I have to be a professional rapper.
No problem, it's the only time.
First world problem.
Now I'm back with the nerdy down.
First world problem.
Phones are asses out of jail.
First world problem.
Authors won't calibrate.
First world problem.
Never got the snack you want.
First world problem.
Got herpes from a sleppy tongue.
First world problem.
You got herpes from a sleppy tongue. It's the first one.
First world problem.
No, it's the
first world problem.
usually play at the end of the set because it has the word final in the name of the show. And we're just going to flip that script around. Song's about that terrible guy you meet at the end of the video game. The final boss.
So there I am, standing in the middle of one of the hottest clubs in New York, surrounded by Star Trek t-shirts and thick-framed glasses. The bald white guy on stage is rapping about video games, and the young man to my right is reciting all the words. It's a combination of people and music that just shouldn't work, but somehow, despite the apparent contradictions, or maybe because of them, it does.
What was I trying to segue into?
You were trying to say 1, 2, 3. Maybe you'll never die, maybe you're gonna live forever and never have anything wrong with you. Until you do, you won't worry about it. Here we go!
After the show, Frontalot stood behind a card table selling t-shirts and CDs. I asked him if his success had helped him to cope with any of the feelings of inadequacy that are so prevalent in his lyrics.
Well, you know, being marginally famous does wonders for one's self-esteem. So I got that going for me. I mean, I still feel... I'm still, like, shy often. I'm still never, like, in shape, and I'm still bald. You know, my, like, feelings of inadequacy continue, but I know there's something that I'm not only good at, but receiving more recognition than I probably deserve for, so that helps, in general, with feelings of inadequacy.
Cause you're probably fine, maybe you should pretend to forget to remember the bullet.
Galloping dropsy and she swashes lungs.
Leaves me with a stink of a croup and a dung heap of unbearably fetid excreta from which I get reinfected. Nice to meet you. How about a hug? I swear my ichor is down and I got over the pestilence. It was intense, I astound. The historian signed Picardy sweaty. Just ran out of leeches that I need such as for bloodletting. It's upsetting. There, I'm upset. Dose of French distemper throbbing up in my head. I don't go into bilious flux just yet, but about to give out a shout to the caller. Doubt you could follow a charting of the manifold ways I'm ill. Iliac passion, spelters, chill weavers, bottom and a melancholy ache. If my fever doesn't break, rates a glass at the wake.
Maybe you'll never die, maybe you're gonna live forever and never have anything wrong with you. And until you do, you won't worry about it. Cause you're probably fine, maybe you should pretend to forget to remember the bullet that's meant for you. Till it's overdue and it runs you through.
Word, Nerd was produced by me, Andy Locke, as part of my Division 3 senior project at Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts. Thanks to Hampshire's Media Services for providing recording equipment. Thanks to my Division 3 committee, Becky Miller and John Bruner, for their guidance, support, and editing help. And special thanks to Cassandra DeAlba and Stephen Seuss, who drove me to my interviews. For more information, just go to andylocke.net. That's Andy, LOCKE.net. Thanks for listening.
If anything wrong with you, and until you do, you won't worry about it. Cause you're probably fine, maybe you should pretend to forget to remember the bullet that's meant for you. Till it's overdue, and it runs you through. Maybe you'll never die, maybe